complimenting Peanut?
Yeah!
What about it?
Does he want the joke about the complimentary peanut?
Yeah.
Okay. So, there was this guy and he walked into a bar. Sat down. He ordered a drink and all of a sudden he heard, "Hey, that's a really nice tie." He looked up and looked at the bartender who was just doing his business. He said, "Are you talking to me?" Bartender's like, "No." So he kept drinking his drink and heard, "You look like a really nice guy." So he looked up. Bartender's still doing his thing. He's like, are you, bartender's like, "What?" It's like, "I guess I'll keep drinking." Kept on his drink. He said, "I really want to be your friend." He looked up at the bartender's like, "What are you talking about?" Bartender's like, "Oh, that's the peanuts. They're complimentary."
Oh. And people dressed in peanut costumes. The people dressed in
There you
peanut.
Go. There was the complimentary peanut joke, though.
Hey, what are you doing? Can I have
If you have Rondi pictures, it would be cool if you came up here and talked to me. I guess we're still telling jokes till more people show up or something. I don't know. Okay, so the beginning of the talent show is going to start with Rondi pitches. At every Rondi, we decide who hosts the next Rondi and the next OC. The OC happens mid-February. The Rondi happens traditionally the first week of July, so 4th of July can be in there. And it's like usually campaign base comes up here, tells you all the reasons why it would be awesome to have a Rondi and a big action there, or an OC and a big OC stands for organizers conference at their home. And then we at the end of all the Rondi pitches do a clap clap-o-meter, yeah, and figure out who won the Rondi, and then usually second place gets the OC. Sometimes. Unless someone's super stoked on the OC and then maybe they get it or whatever. A good thing to mention during your Rondi pitch is what you're trying to get. Where is everyone? I think they're all at the
Somebody want to go to the creek?
Somebody went.
Somebody went.
Other people want to go. Yeah?
Sure.
And sometimes.
I don't see any problem with that. Cool. But maybe not having more than like 4 or 5 questions or something. Be good. Why did the toilet paper roll down the hill?
To get to the bottom.
Oh, I never got.
How do you, what do you call a deer with no eyes?
No idea.
What do you call a deer with no eyes and no legs?
Still no idea.
What do you call it? Deer with no legs, no eyes, and no genitals.
No, still no fucking idea.
Can I do it?
Yeah.
How do you stop a skunk from smelling?
How?
You hold his nose.
Oh.
How do you make a skunk eat?
How?
It's going away.
They injection sometimes very esoteric.
How do you make a dragon blow fire?
How?
It breathes out
make water.
Let it breathe out water and then fire comes out.
That's some science.
I was thinking.
Knock, knock.
Who's there? What? Who?
The goat. That's the best.
Why do you bury cops 10 feet down?
Because deep down they're all good people.
I should probably not get into cop jokes. I know too many of them.
What?
Gummy bear. What's a pirate's favorite letter?
R.
You would think so!
R, but it's actually the C.
Why do Canadian anarchists love bagels?
It's a circle, eh?
I have a joke. You know what?
What if the anarchists get at the bagel shop?
What?
Everything's for everyone.
How do you starve an anarchist? You hide their EBT under their college degree.
I have a joke.
Bucky, what? What?
They both hate windows.
Why?
So a horse walks into a bar, and the bartender asks him, "Why the long face?" And the horse says, "I was born into servitude, and when I die, my feet will be made into glue." And the bartender realized he wouldn't be getting a tip. What?
How many?
How many what?
How many oogles does it take to change a light bulb?
There's change in a light bulb?
How many earth pressures does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
Earth pressures don't screw in dirty light bulbs, they screw in dirty sleeping bags.
How many hipsters does it take to screw in a light bulb? It's a really obscure number, you wouldn't understand.
Why'd the hipster burn?
How many?
Hi, Marlena.
How do you know a hippie is on your couch?
Still there.
How do you know? What does he say when you ask him to pay rent?
Oh. Knock, knock. Good day. I'm a.
I like the twist on that joke that used to be super grimy. You know the original one, don't you, Lee? There's an original joke that was way grosser than that.
Go on.
I don't know if it's kids friendly.
Okay.
It's, how does it taste to go down on a grandma? Depends. I was not going to say it. I was just going to say it.
You fucked up.
Grandmas need love too.
What's the difference between dragons and nice cops?
What?
Dragons are real.
How do you titillate an ocelot?
You oscillate its titillot.
Yeah, you do.
I'm going to steal your joke right now that I think I heard a few years ago. What's the difference between the Dallas Greyhound Station and a crab with breast implants? One is a crusty bus station, the other is a busty crustacean.
What was the worm doing in the cornfield?
What did you say, Salik?
What was the worm doing in the cornfield?
What?
Going in one ear and out the other.
I don't know if
it's a bit of a
message.
by one arm. How do you get him down?
Shoot him.
Shoot him in the face.
What's big and gray and looks good on a cop?
Loud rock.
Yeah! Are we getting into those? Woo!
What's cops died at 9/11?
Not enough.
How many firefighters died at 9/11?
That's not funny, they're heroes.
Okay, can we cut the 9/11 jokes, though?
Can we just laugh at the cop?
Yeah.
How do you say a cop will drown?
Throw him his priest.
Okay, Salix has a joke.
What did George Washington say to his men before they got in the boat?
Suckers.
Get in the boat!
What did the buffalo say to his kid when he was going to college?
Bye, son.
Bye, son.
Bye, son. Bye, son.
None of you all know that joke already.
No. It's pretty obvious.
Knock, knock!
Who's there?
Mom.
Truck.
Truck who?
Me.
What's black and white and red all over?
A newspaper!
No, the masses of the penal colony. The sun was especially brutal that day, and the warden had taken their roofs for some unnamed crime.
What's the difference between a cop and a trampoline?
What?
One?
Or you jump on a trampoline.
You don't see me walking around here stabbing a trampoline.
What does a chocolate give that eats chocolate chips?
What?
A chocolate chip eater.
Yo mama is so classless, she's a Marxist utopia.
What is a chocolate chip that eats a bar?
What?
A chocolate chip eating bar.
Should I tell the whale joke? I'm really good at telling the whale joke. To set myself up for disappointment. So, two whales walk into a bar. You know, that's not a typical sight, but they were walking. They have bottom fins. It makes sense, okay? And so, they sit down and they order a couple beers. And one whale goes to the other. Another whale goes, Trent, you're drunk.
How do you eat a bomb?
How?
With their teeth!
Come on, encouragement!
It's almost 5.
Okay, so we need to get started. Let's yell Rondi pitches one more time. If you have a Rondi pitch, if you can come up here and let me know, that would be great. I know you're out there. Yeah. Well, they weren't here, okay? Oh my God!
Oh, what are you asking? Why they can't pay your rent?
Why?
Oh man, jobless.
I don't get that.
Jobless.
Who is King Arthur's favorite knight at the Round Table?
Who?
circumference.
Oh.
Yeah. Where does the general keep his army?
In his sleeves.
So Vermont, I think it's already. I think I already have it in the bag. But
Vermont.
So I'll run through some reasons why. There's about 12 other organizers. Three of us have already done a rendezvous, so we know how to do it. I don't need to do a skit. Anybody that steps up, my skit is going to be. I'm going to fight them for it. Bag game. If I actually have a competition, it's going to be a bag game competition. But I just want to run through why we should have it there, and then if there's competition, then I'll come up with something better. But come on. So it hasn't been in the Green Mountains since the early 90s. They have an active campaign that's going to be a two-year direct action campaign. It's heating up. Right before I left to come here, the permits for this pipeline, it's going to an IP power plant. Just got put through, so they're going to start doing direct action there. It's a winnable campaign. Earth First Rendezvous next year, the last action, the after action could be part of a winnable campaign, which would be nice for a change. Best swimming in the country, easily. The trees there, where they're not as big, but they do, if you put holes in them, they give you sugar in the spring, so there'll be plenty of maple syrup. Most of the folks out there, you know, have access to amazing food resources. It'll be easy for us to get a kitchen together, and we won't have to use Seeds of Peace, so they can just come and participate.
Yeah.
What else do you need? We got it. It's gonna be well organized and the best rendezvous in a long time. Not only that, it needs to be back on the East Coast.
Best rendezvous since North Carolina.
Why do you have a Minnesota shirt on if you're promoting Vermont? It seems kind of good.
Unfortunately, because people there, all the Vermonters there, are too busy fighting this pipeline to come out here. They sent me.
Yeah, we were busy. We have nothing to do over here.
Thing, I think that something that hasn't been... it has been addressed a lot of the times, but I think it needs to continue to be addressed in pitches, is whether or not there is an established relationship with the indigenous people there, being able to do the Rondi in a way that, like, helps support them, or if they want that.
There's the Abenaki. So Vermont is stolen Abenaki land, and there is a relationship between the folks that are organizing that and the Abenaki. The way that the tribal situation there is kind of, you know, they've been colonized for a really long time. So what those folks there, what that looks like is very complicated. So there are definitely folks there always think of whose land that they are on. And yeah.
How many people would you have available for working on the rendezvous today?
Right now, it's 12.
What's the question? I couldn't hear that question.
It's 12 confirmed people besides me.
What's the question?
How many people? The question was, how many people would you have available to work on the rendezvous committee?
Hey, Raven.
It's like 8
Now you want to go up the hill?
Okay. What's your question?
Well, this community works well together. It's amazing out there.
why is it a winnable campaign?
We got a question over here.
Me?
Yeah.
So while it was similar to Dennis's, these dozen people have met and discussed logistics and discussed resources and decided that they can do it.
Yes.
As a group. Follow-up question. Will the committee put out the site location before June 20th?
Yeah, we've already been looking at site locations. So
Andrew, will you repeat the question because it sounds like most people can't hear?
The question was, have we talked about capacity and being able to do this, which we have. Everybody there is excited about it. They're capable organizers. They've done a regional rendezvous. There's three of them that have done a national rendezvous before. They're putting on two action camps this year. We have the resources, the kitchen, everything already there, big tops, you know, like everything that you need. And then what was the other part of it?
And it's kind of snarky.
Oh, yeah. We'll get the location a lot earlier. Sorry. Hopefully.
Why is it a winnable campaign?
Because it's a small... It's a small pipeline. There isn't a lot of capital invested in it. And the people of Vermont are fierce resistors. Because the people of Vermont don't want it. And generally things in Vermont that they don't want happening don't. Oh, yeah, they've got the best gun laws, the laxest gun laws in the country, another reason.
Tell us about the microbreweries.
Long Trail is probably the best known. They, that's what I drink. I guess people there like really like this heady topper stuff, but I'm not really into it.
Okay, I'm going to be next. I was planning on having there be about 5 questions for each one. So things that are really, like, necessary to ask. You have a question, and then there was one other one, maybe? Okay. Ask a question.
Help. Don't try that.
I think people there will try, but yeah, they have tried to get people, like indigenous folks, involved in their campaigns, but that's, you know, but there isn't any indigenous folks, yeah.
It's also been relationships in the past.
Yeah.
One more? Yeah. Please speak up.
Yes. Everybody that's in
that happened at the last action camp. That was the beginning of June, so...
All right. Next up is Santa Barbara.
Well, I personally made 100 last year, so.
Will we be legal by then?
Hey, Santa Barbara.
Thank you, Andrew. Vermont.
Santa Barbara.
Hey everybody, I'm Logan.
Mike.
Alex. We're all from Santa Barbara. Alex from Santa Barbara.
Mike.
I'm Logan.
And we want you all to come for the winter rondy.
Woo! Yeah, hot springs.
Santa Barbara.
Lots of avocados, hot springs, beautiful weather, the ocean.
Even 6 months in advance, the forecast is about 70 and sunny out.
Ridiculous amounts of food in the dumpsters.
We'll take care of you. We'll take care of you.
Do y'all have a lot of organizers to help down there?
There's definitely a lot of people who want to plug in. There's a lot of anti-fracking stuff going on, oil extraction.
It is the site of one of the biggest oil extraction projects on the West Coast. The Monterey Shale is one of like the biggest oil extraction sites on the West Coast. We have like 9 platforms that are off our coast. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of radical resistance to this stuff there, but I'm hoping that something like this could inspire locals in the area to take more direct action and more radical stuff.
Woo! Okay. 5 questions. 1.
How many people went here last time they hosted? How often was that, right? Yeah.
That wasn't a question.
Anybody else got questions for these folks? Okay. 2.
Would this be up in Los Padres, or what do you have in mind?
It'd be surrounded by the Los Padres National Forest. I think it'd probably be in the same spot we had it last time. It was on some folks' land that welcomed us and were really happy to have us.
Okay.
We also planted a bunch of fruit trees for them afterwards, and they were really stoked on that.
And it hasn't burned over yet. Trout farm, a bunch of stuff lined up between the yellow and that's what's going to be coming.
No, there's nowhere to have it there.
Okay, also respecting that not everyone can yell as loud as others, and that really practicing being quiet instead of yelling louder, because some people can't talk louder, and that's just kind of annoying. Sorry, maybe that sounded aggressive. Did Crunch Bear have their hand up?
Yes.
Probably not. Well, there's shady areas, but the main area is pretty much in the sun. But it's not like this, though. It's not going to be this hot.
Okay, last 3 questions. Seed?
Hey, are you on Chumash then?
Yes.
Yeah, are you in contact with any Chumash others?
The folks that we'll be staying with, the guys, is Chumash, the land that we're staying on, where we would have it. The owner of the property is Chumash, sorry. There's definitely some coastal Chumash. I think we would definitely want to plug in. And we'd definitely talk to the San Ynez band, but they're not as maybe tied to the land as the coastal band is, which isn't recognized by the state or the federal, so they're a little more loosely organized. But yeah, we'll definitely be talking to the local Chumash.
Gambit?
Do we have a direct action after this one?
Yeah. Ouch.
Yes, I hope so.
What happened last time?
It was a 3-day weekend and everything was closed on Monday.
We had a really good time. We did. Lots of fun. But they were
pissed off all kinds of people in Santa Barbara. It was good.
Okay, and Andrew with our last question.
Do you guys think about getting a TikTok?
Yes.
Yeah.
We did actually make one last year, but it got really windy and ate it right before you guys got there.
All right.
We want you. We love you. Thank you.
Okay, so far we've had a Rondi pitch from Vermont and an OC pitch from Santa Barbara. Is there any competition?
Humble. Utah! Humble.
Anybody else got pitches? Because else it's decided already.
Get up there. Pitch it.
Last call.
Unanimous.
Having internal communications over there. All right. Yeah, let's just do this next year too, y'all. Cascadia again. What? Called it off? Okay, well, big round of applause. Oh. Who's near? What's up?
I think one thing that I feel like the energy of the bidding war is important to me, and I feel like this felt a little bit like it's good. Get up here, man!
Utah!
Utah!
you're preparing, Sarah, Sarah, while you're preparing to back me, a minute. I just want to say that I think that the, while, like, the competing and shit-talking is, like, you know, one of my favorite things, I also think that the people who are proposing this are proposing, like, taking on an extreme amount of work for us and for our movement. So, like, supporting us is a really important part, and, like, gratitude is really an important, like, shit-talk, yeah, great. And also, like, fucking serious high fives for the people that are talking about taking this on for us and everything. Woo!
Nez and I are bidding for you, Connor, for Northern Alaska. We've got the wildest wilderness areas. Huge mountains, go.
Big oil spills.
Massive oil spills. Buckets of water from Vermont because they're liquid. Ours is ice. See how hot it is? Your food will be cold. We promise.
Grizz.
Grizzly bears. Grizzly. We zombie cougars.
No zombie cougars.
We have grizzly bears. They're not zombies. But they will pick you off if you're on the edge of the fire. Our campaign, strip mining lithium. We're going to pull at your guilt. It's where all the batteries come from for your smartphones and computers.
Burn your computers.
Burn the computers. We're moving there in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, we live there.
Yeah.
You get, if you move there, here's the other thing. If you move there and you live there for a year, you get $3,000 from the government of Alaska.
Yep.
Bam, it's to pay for oil. Just don't be there when it's cold, which is just now. Lerman?
Could the action
actually
be shutting down the
oil?
That's a
plan, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Also, Greenpeace has agreed to sponsor caravans. They're going to do regional caravans too there. So if you can't get there, you get to get there on Greenpeace's dime.
Yep. And all of their climbing gear.
Yeah.
And food. There you go.
Yeah.
I just hadn't heard about this.
Yeah, real cutting edge. Super tight-lipped security culture.
Yeah. It's the only way we'll actually get anything done.
Right, and we have speedboats. That go on land.
We'll probably get a helicopter or two because it's really remote. Again, we'll get Greenpeace to do that.
Yeah, they have a blimp too. Have you ever wanted to...
Hot air balloons?
Magpie, yes. I know. Magpie, I know you want to drive an airship. They have one. We're gonna.
We'll teach you.
We're just gonna steal that one. They didn't give us that one, but we're going to one of their trainings, and we're just gonna cut the fucking line. Peace. Call the cops on us.
Questions?
Concerns?
Concerns?
Karen.
It's you from the woman from Alaska.
Well, I'm not sure what.
Yukon.
This is not.
North of. North of Fairbanks.
Let's just do the Arctic and just snow machine the whole time.
Ooh. Yeah. Also,
ammo and food stamps.
In Eugene, you can get them at the St. Vincent de Paul thrift store. $4.20. Yeah. Also, Northern Lights. Northern
Lights. No, we'll bring
it up
and make money. We'll pay for the rally as well by bringing up beer and selling it for cheap.
Yep. Yeah, Northern Lights.
No, there's no Northern Lights.
For all the promises about Greenpeace, and as you work for Greenpeace, so you're guaranteeing this, correct?
Of course.
Thanks, okay. Is it the light half of the year where it's always light, or is it always dark? They don't know. No, they've never been there.
No, it's the same. Yeah, okay, any other questions at Wedge Field? Anyone? Okay, okay. Can you direct that to Wedge? I'm sorry, direct that one. Can you direct to Wedge?
You can call me for legal advice, you owe me money.
Yeah. I don't know.
The what?
Seeds of green peas?
Kind of. It's more just like we're going to soak beans and then you mash them with rocks.
Joe, I heard that in Alaska you just hug the water and you have like 10 salmon in your arm.
Yeah. Fact. I saw it in National Geographic.
Yeah. Anyhow, we'll move there in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 3, depending on how things wrap up in our own local communities. Right. And then, you know, we'll try and leave those as fast as we can.
Also, we're gonna work really hard because we know everyone thinks the Minnesota cloaks are real cool, myself included. We're just gonna try to get grizzly bear cloaks. We're not gonna like actually. We don't know how to tan hides. We're just gonna get grizzly bears and put them on you.
This is so funny.
See,
buddy, we're here.
Yep, everyone's having fun at our ride.
Everybody wants to go to Alaska.
Our winter is coming.
We have dragons.
We do.
And
Greenpeace dragons?
No, but Greenpeace does provide the dragon sleeves.
I think we're getting at the dragons from 350.
Oh, yeah.
350.org is providing the dragons.
So these ones don't actually breathe fire because that puts out carbon into the atmosphere. Lightning.
Just lightning. Hot lightning.
Real hot lightning.
Greenpeace continues to be more entertaining than the guy from
wait, no, I have a serious thing.
Is there anybody here from Vermont, actually?
These guys, actually.
Right.
Yes.
They're
not there anymore.
Right, that's right.
This supposition sounds like this person from Vermont was actually funny. I'm just playing. I love you.
Okay, should we do the clap-o-meter about it?
Okay.
All right. So, are you getting the OC or the Rondi?
Rondi. Would you want the OC? We could big ice castles.
Do both.
Ice castles.
Ice castles. Who wants to see an iceberg? Okay, Ren, if you want to see an iceberg.
Oh, we'll recreate Warner Creek, but with ice.
So they're going for both. So,
both.
So, first we're going to do Vermont versus UConn. Okay, let's hear it for Vermont. Okay, I think I got it at the highest point. Does anybody want to make a mental image of where my hand is right now? Okay.
She's the other hand.
Okay, great. All right.
No, it was actually.
Okay. Now for UConn.
Woo!
Woohoo! You guys!
Hey, you want to move to Hawaii in like 3 months?
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so the Rondi's in Vermont. You still want the OC though. Where are you going?
To Hawaii.
You wanna pitch for Hawaii?
No, we're just gonna go there. I don't wanna deal with organizing and getting people there.
What about the $3,000?
That's to get you all through Alaska.
Okay. Well, I guess we don't have any competition for the organizers conference and it's gonna be in Santa Barbara. Woo! Without any further ado, we're gonna start our talent show. We have some details to be addressed.
Okay, so I'm on jail support team with Maria. Maybe some of you guys have met me, Dandy. Maria's not here right now. So we're gonna be the people doing jail support. You're gonna get a number tomorrow, and her and I are gonna be on the other end of the line. So just so you know, my face, who you might be talking to if you go to the action. I'm going to pass around these jail
supports. Hey, you want to go up there?
If you're going to the action, even if you're not in a restable role, please fill these out and get to us.
Myself or Jason here will be around tomorrow morning. Get it to us after breakfast. We need these before after breakfast. If we don't get all this information, we're not going to be able to guarantee jail support. And we really, really want to take care of you guys. We're going to do the best we can.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So pass this around. Find me or Jason and hand them in tomorrow, and they will be safe. Your information will not be given anyone. It's going to burn afterwards.
Okay. Also, cheerleaders, I can take your jail support form. I was going to do that.
Thank you. Have fun around.
Okay, so is Ball Bam Bap puppet show ready? I don't see anyone with puppets.
Oh, yeah, Ball Bam Bap is ready. It goes like this. Hey, girl, I want to do a puppet show. They're up in the Midwest, but my friends didn't want to do it, so.
Oh, so no Ball Bam Bap.
Oh, that's a weird way to say it. I mean, you first you're going to
check. Ember? Is that you?
Ahem. Here's a story that I wrote, and I'm not done writing it. And I'm not done writing it, but I'm going to read you the first chapter. Chapter 1, The Arrival. Another jolt went through the carriage. The long ride wasn't made any easier with the bumpy road and dim light. It was foggy and misty. Quintanana, our heroine's name, Nusheen Loren, her mother, and Nastobi, her father, were headed to their great-grandmother's house. Her uncle and his daughter lived there now. Her uncle's name was Sir Kentor, and his daughter's name was Dakoratea, but everyone called her Ducky. Quintanana had soft raven black hair that fell in waves down her back and pretty amber eyes and freckles. Her mother had brown hair, blue eyes, and a rosy complexion. Her father, on the other hand, was a sturdy man of 35 who also had brown hair and blue eyes, who, unlike her mother, who was tall, he was shortish and strong and a good handyman. Quintanana was 12, her mother was 34, and her father, as said before, was 35. It was the year of 1851, and Quintanana was wearing a light gray silk dress with lavender silk ruffles, a gray wool cap with a lavender ostrich feather in it, and a gray wool muffler. But what she was contemplating were her boots. They were of gray leather with little crystals sewn around the top and really soft wool on the inside. Loren wore a dark blue silk dress with a navy blue cap and blue shoes. Astobi was wearing a brown silk waistcoat, brown silk trousers, and black shoes with big silver buckles. Now they were traveling in complete darkness. Soon they came to a door. It was hardly fair to call it a door, considering its meant size. A woman dressed in a cloak of dark blue came out. She opened the gate, and it swung noiselessly. The carriage proceeded into a very dark and very clammy hall. But before they got scared, they came into a courtyard. It was all black and silver in the moonlight, and silent in the moonlight. Quintanana saw a light in the sky. It looked as if it was floating. The carriage road wound around the garden and dropped them off in front of the door and stopped. Quintanana, Loren, and Astobi got off the carriage and knocked on the door. It opened, and there before them stood her uncle. He was as tall as Loren, but he was large, fat, and red. He had brown, close-cropped hair, green eyes, and long arms and legs. He was wearing a blue velvet waistcoat embroidered with yellow and blue flowers, green velvet knee-high pants, and big black shoes with large silver buckles. Dakoratea had soft chestnut hair and gray eyes. She wore a green silk dress, green velvet slippers, and a big green bow in her hair. Hello, said Quintanana. Hello, hello, and hello again, said Sir Kentor. He was very jolly. Dakoratea said, Oh, I'm so glad you came. It has been so lonely here. Let me show you to your room. Dad can show Aunt Loren and Uncle Astobi their room. Okay, said Quintanana. With that, Quintanana and Dakoratea proceeded to Quintanana's room. First, they went through the dining room, then the parlor, and finally the sitting room. Then they walked up a winding staircase to a tower. Finally, they came to the top of the tower. There was a small door, about a foot and a half wide, with a golden horseshoe knocker. Decoratea opened the door and went inside. Quintanana followed. The tower was round, so the room was round. The tower had two windows, one looking west and one looking northeast. The west looking one had a window seat and could open. There was a large wood twin four-poster bed with long silk curtains made of red rose design on a yellow background tied back with golden cordage. On the bed there were two snow-white pillows, a large patchwork silk quilt, and a large patchwork silk quilt. On the floor was a small sheepskin rug next to the bed. There was also a wardrobe trunk full of books, bedside table, and a small desk with a mirror, hairbrush, and bow on it. One last thing about the room was that there was a tiny fireplace full of a fire made of apple branches and a mantle upon which there was a box of cookies and a clock. Thank you for showing me my room, Quintanana said. You're welcome, said Decoratea, and good night. With that, she left. Quintanana opened the door and betook herself to her parents' room. She came to the door and opened it. She saw Low Red and the stovey checking things out. There was a large king-sized bed in one corner, a faded patchwork quilt on it, and four fluffy white pillows. There were two mahogany wardrobes, a mirror on one side and a painting on the other, and a bedside table. There was also a fireplace and a mantle with a clock and a desk. On the floor, there was a velvet carpet. Will you be happy here? Asked Quintanana. Yes, they both said. Are you happy in your room? Oh, yes, said Quintanana. It's all I ever hoped for. Good night, Quintanana, said Lorena and Estobi. Good night, Mama and Daddy. With those words, Quintanana left. She went up the stairs to her room, put on her silk nightgown with white lace, and got in her bed. For a while, she didn't sleep. And then, finally, she went to sleep with a smile on her face.
All right, so I forgot to mention Stack. The next three people are Brush, Brenna, and Foster.
Except remember we moved Foster and Brenna and Riley down.
And what? And, okay. So Brush, Foster, and then Bronson. Is Brush here and ready to go? Great.
So first, real quick, is anyone planning something already where we're going to honor the Earth First Dead of the year? There is something already being planned? Okay. Not in general?
Let's do it.
So we're going to talk about ancestors, and I thought a lot about whether to stand here, and I feel called to recognize that there are so many ancestors here with us. Maybe each of you can just take a moment and think about the people that you know in your life that have passed on. Maybe some of them are your blood ancestors. Maybe some of them are your friends. Maybe some of them are people that you've known that have influenced you. There's the ancestors we don't know. There's our grandparents and our great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents and their parents before them and back and back. There's their stories. Stories of their relationship with the land. Stories of being settlers, of being colonized. Stories of being soldiers. Stories of being farmers, owners, slaves. We each have so many ancestors. ancestors that I don't know, my ancestors, some of them from Wales, England, Southern and Eastern Africa. In some ways, how we choose to honor our ancestors affects how they're here with us. Some of our ancestors did horrible things. And they were complex people. Some of our ancestors were terribly hurt. And they were complex, beautiful people. I want to welcome my ancestors, our ancestors. I want to ask the blessings and the spirit of all that is full of life that remains to be with me and to be with us in our work to return to the land. This last year, since the last Rondi, some of our ancestors have passed and are now new ancestors. This is perhaps our first chance to celebrate their lives and to welcome them in this way to this community. So I'm going to ask each of us just to take a moment, maybe spend maybe a minute just thinking about who you may know who is part of this community, this family, this movement, or influenced it in an important way, who's passed on this year. If anyone wants to speak a name, we can take a moment. If anyone else has a story or a brief honoring of that person.
My grandfather passed away this morning, and I just want to say that something I've been thinking a lot about, I was at this leadership retreat in Ojai, California, and people kept saying that nothing is the wrong way. Everything happens for a reason or a purpose. And I couldn't help but disagree, thinking about all the shit that's been done. And I kind of came to my own conclusion today, and that is that no matter where you're at in your life, it's never too late to take what has happened and what your ancestors have done. And, like, not change the path, but, like, make their reason for the reason that people suffer. Like, reasons, I guess. And, like, thinking and resonating with, like, reasons for things happening. And the fact that there aren't inherent reasons in the things that have happened. But that my grandfather got butchered by a surgeon and was not respected and went to the worst hospital in the state and died because of it. And he's leaving my family with, like, an inheritance now because of that, and that's something that he really valued. So there's reasons for everything, and I'm just kind of, like, trying to kind of take it all in, but basically I just want to honor him and honor my ancestors and use this space to, like, really value somebody that I disagreed with in a lot of political realm, but that I can feel like he has some kind of purpose in this world still. So that's what I have to say.
I just wanted to call one person in who was an Earth Firster. The last Cascadian rendezvous I think he went to was 2002. His name was Matthew Power. He was a friend and lover of mine, lived in New York City, and this spring died while on journalist assignment in Uganda. He was traveling with someone who was walking the length of the Nile and died of heat stroke. Anybody here, Matt Power? You remember him? Y'all know Matt from Vermont. He was an amazing urban activist in New York, helped save many gardens, dressed up like a sunflower and climbed a tree in front of City Hall. He's a beautiful, beautiful soul. And moved into more of the mainstream limelight in the world of journalism, but brought this spark of creative impulse and understanding of this community into work that was read by many and will be very missed. So I want to call Matt Power into the circle.
I want to remember Ethan Braden. He came out here to Oregon with some of us from Minnesota. He was only 17. He was at the last Cascading Rendezvous and had so much energy and so much focus at such a young age. And he died about 2 years ago yesterday while swimming out on a 4th of July retreat. And I just really miss him and wish he was here now, because I know he could contribute so much. Thanks.
Are there any other Earth First ancestors from this last year? Maybe now, if people just want to say names of the others that have gone before, just speak out some names, people that are with us.
Tony Merton.
Or Hound.
Craig Benville.
Craig Benville.
Dennis Hall.
Brad Will.
Bill Turk.
They're all with us. May we remember them with honor. Blessings.
Okay, maybe a big group deep breath. We got a lot more company than just in this crowd, y'all.